We turn in God's Word to Exodus chapters 13 and 14. Exodus 13, we begin at verse 17 and read through chapter 14, verse 14. Exodus 13, verse 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go. So this is right after the 10 plagues and the celebration of the Passover, and the people are ready to go out of Egypt. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up, harnessed, out of the land of Egypt, or perhaps went up in formation out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. It was at Succoth where they started living in tabernacles. All right, that's where the word the Feast of Tabernacles comes from, Succoth. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it ye shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. Or they went out boldly. They went out defiantly. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. So far we read God's holy word. The text is chapter 13, verses 17 through 22. Let's reread that passage. Exodus 13, starting at verse 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth, and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, there is a well-known hymn that goes like this. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught, whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. The second stanza goes like this. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by waters still or troubled sea, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. It goes on, Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. And when at last my race is run, the Savior's work in me is done, e'en death's cold wave I will not fear, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. How comforting, beloved, to know that it is God who not only holds everything in his hand, but who is leading us, his children, as a shepherd leads his sheep. Day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. It's very comforting, beloved. It's very comforting, especially when it seems as if the way that we're walking through life doesn't make much sense to us. We wonder what is going on. Maybe we say, what is God doing here? How can this turn out for my good? Why did God put this trial in my life? And then we remember, it's God who's leading. God knows what he is doing, and he is faithful. He is always faithful, and he knows exactly how to lead each single one of us perfectly, even together and individually, to glory. And he knows exactly how to keep and preserve his beloved church in the midst of this world. These are good thoughts to have at the end of another year. And in order to encourage us with these thoughts, I thought it would be fitting to look at a striking event in the history of God's people from the Old Testament, right at the very beginning of their history. We look tonight at how God led his people when he delivered them out of Egyptian bondage. Because what is so striking about this whole event is that when God delivered him, his people, he led them in a way that no man would have chosen for himself. He led his people, in fact, in a way that was entirely contrary to what they would have supposed. As we just sang earlier, his way was in the sea. None understood, but God alone. To man, thy footsteps were unknown. And yet, how did the way turn out for God's people? We know the history. It was exactly the wise way, the perfect way for God's people to go, the way they needed to go. But safe thy people thou didst keep, almighty shepherd of thy sheep. That's what we want to end with this year. This one thought, really. God's ways are perfect. God's ways are right. And to God be the praise for his careful and perfect and wise leading of his church throughout 2021. We take as our theme tonight, God's wise leading of his church. We look at that theme under 3 points. First, we look at the unexpected path. Second, the divine wisdom. And third, the constant presence. It was a very striking event we just read about, wasn't it? Israel had been suffering unspeakable misery under the tyranny of Pharaoh and Egypt. God had heard the cries of his people. For over 80 years, God was hearing the cries of his people. And God had risen. And God had proceeded to devastate the entire land of Egypt with the 10 plagues. God gave his people the Passover feast, pointing them to their salvation in Christ. And now God was leading his people out of Egypt. He was going to lead his people out of Egypt and into the promised land of Canaan. Because now was the time that God was fulfilling his promises made over 400 years ago to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. He was bringing his people now to freedom, to a land flowing with milk and honey. He was bringing his people to glory. And yet, what does God do? As he has these good things in store for his people, what does he do? Instead of leading them northward on the main road that led from Egypt to Canaan, God instead turns them southward in the exact opposite direction. Instead of leading his people on the normal route, the freeway, the expressway to Canaan, he turns his people onto a gravel road and a dirt path in the opposite direction. If God had led his people the normal way, you might say, to Canaan, the Israelites could have arrived at the borders of Canaan within 2 weeks. Within 2 weeks. But what does Exodus 13, verse 17 say? It says, "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near." Verse 18, "But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea." In congregation, this way of the wilderness of the Red Sea was in all reality no way at all. Not from a human point of view. It was a way that didn't make any sense. First of all, it was in the opposite direction. Instead of going north, they're going south. And second of all, it's a way that led into the desert. It was the way of the wilderness, like the Black Forest. The wilderness was avoided by everyone who could avoid it. It was a desert. Besides, there was no water. There was no shade. The possibility of getting lost and dying was very real. You didn't mess around with the wilderness. On the one side were mountains. On the other side were mountains. Far in front of the people was the great barrier of the Red Sea. This was the way of the wilderness. A dusty old dirt road that seemed to lead to nowhere. In fact, so notorious was this way of the wilderness that when Pharaoh heard that the Israelites were going in this direction, he thought that the Israelites didn't know what they were doing. He thought that they were being clumsy and that they had gotten lost. That's why Pharaoh began chasing after them with his army. He thought they were trapped. Everyone knew Israel was going in a foolhardy direction, at least from an earthly point of view. For 2 million people, with women and children, babies and elderly, this was not the path to take. What's even more, should the people even get out of the wilderness? Should the people even by some kind of miracle pass through the Red Sea and get out on the other side of the Red Sea, what would you find there? But a wilderness and a desert that was even worse than the wilderness they had already gone through. More desolate, more remote. How would you care for the people? How would you feed them? even by a miracle, multiple miracles, you survived the wilderness. It's only adding months and months of time to your trip to the land of Canaan. You can begin to hear the people of Israel already start to murmur, can't you? Even before they hear the Egyptians coming after them. I can imagine one of the leaders of the tribe of Judah or Ephraim, when he sensed the direction that Moses was walking in, when he sensed that Moses was leading the people in the way of the wilderness, I can imagine that one of them went to the front of the pack and told Moses, "Moses, not this way, we can't go this way." I can imagine maybe the words of a wife from the tribe of Zebulun or Issachar saying to her husband, "Now, hubby, you go to the front and you tell him we can't go this way. I've got little babies. We've got our father-in-law. They're going to perish if we keep going in this direction." And you can imagine how Moses would have responded. "I haven't made a mistake. I'm not the one leading us. God is. Through the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, he's leading us the way that we should go, and we need to follow him no matter what way he leads us." Perhaps even the men in leadership might have been thinking to themselves, "Have not God's people suffered enough already under the tyranny of Egypt? Must we now also have to walk through this desert wilderness? Are we not ready now to enjoy the land flowing with milk and honey? Why does God's way always seem more difficult?" Really, to say that it was an unexpected path is an understatement. But what we must see, congregation, is that this path is typical. This is written for our example and our understanding. It's real history, certainly, but God even shaped all this history in his perfect wisdom, not just for the Israelites' good and for this moment, but so that we today, at the end of 2021, might see and learn from it, that we might learn spiritual truths. Remember, all of this history, starting out in the land of Egypt, all the way through to entrance in the promised land of Canaan, it's all a picture of the lives of God's people in this earthly pilgrim wandering. It's a picture of our pilgrim pathway to heaven. It starts right here at the very beginning of Israel's exodus. And the first thing we learn from all this history is that the way that leads to glory, the way that leads to the promised land, is not the way that our flesh would choose. It's not the way of human wisdom, because God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and our ways are not his ways. That's true with everything, beloved. That was true with everything in this past year. That's true with the Exodus. That's true with Jesus' shameful death on the cross. That's true with your whole salvation. God hath chosen the things that are foolish according to man's wisdom in order that everyone may see that it is all of God, so that no flesh may glory in his presence. And right from the beginning, to show us that it is God alone who brings us to the promised land, not we ourselves. God brings his people on a pathway that they would not have chosen for themselves. This is the Lord's doing and the Lord's leading. The second thing we learn from all of this is that the way that leads to glory is a way marked by trials and difficulties. It's the way of the wilderness. It's the way of a hot, dry desert. It was a way where there was no water. And it was exactly this way, again, because it was the way that was designed to show God's all-sufficiency and his amazing grace and power. And these things are true for us today as much as they were true for the Israelites coming out of Egypt. The year that has gone by for you and me did not go the way that our flesh would have chosen, did it? The year that has gone by for you was marked with many trials and difficulties that you would not have chosen. For some of us, it was the way of cancer, breast cancer, radiation treatments. For some of us, I remember visiting, it was the way of knee replacements that took weeks for healing, and we wondered why it had to be this way. For some of us, it was the way of medical concerns, frequent doctor appointments, maybe recovering from COVID-19, moving into a nursing home for Seymour, way of an unexpected death in the family. For all of us, it was the way of deep sorrow over schism that took place in the denomination and a church split, the way of family relations being grievously strained, being on the receiving end of scorn and contempt. For many of us, it was the way of hard days at work, day after day after day, saying, why is this necessary? Working by the sweat of our brow. For others, it was marked by days of dirty diapers and constant cleaning. For some of us, it was the way of casting forth our prayers to God day after day, prayers that were surely heard, but prayers that perhaps still to this day haven't yet been granted. For some of us, it was the way of struggling with anxiety, struggling with grievous sins, strife and contention. It's not the way that we would have chosen for ourselves, would it? Was it? To be sure, there were also great joys this past year. These need to be acknowledged. We've acknowledged that to the Lord already in prayer. Simply knowing that God is with us through it all, that makes it all okay. Simply knowing that God is leading us, that's so comforting, so rich, we need that. And certainly God has given us many joys, spiritual growth, a clear vision of Jesus Christ, greater assurance, perhaps, of knowing where I'm going when God takes my life from this earth. Marriages, growing families. God has supplied all our needs and much more besides. And there are many wonderful memories that we will hold to that were made in 2021. But nevertheless, we can easily lose sight of these things and be tempted to say, how can this be the right way? I'm sure Israel, when they were in the land of Canaan, they looked back and talked about the rock that followed them and talked about the cloud and the pillar. But in the moment, you never appreciate it. How can this be the right way? God seems to be leading us into a wilderness. Sometimes we say, have I not had enough of walking this wilderness way? Maybe we look ahead to 2022 and we say, is this how we have to start off the year of 2022? I don't understand. It seems like the wrong way to me. And what we need to remember is that nothing happens by chance, but by God's fatherly hand. He is in control. In and through Jesus Christ, He's our Father, and He's the one leading us, and His way is best. God's way is best. How does the song go? He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He knows what He's doing, and His way is always best. He knows it's the only way, and it's the way that's best. He knows the way that leads to glory. That comes out very clearly in the passage. As we turn back to the passage and look at the divine wisdom displayed in leading the people into the wilderness. The Israelite, when he saw that God was leading him and the nation in the way of the wilderness, might have asked himself, why? But what we must see is that God has His perfect purposes in all these things, and He even knows the Israelites better than they know themselves. He was exercising His wisdom for their good. First of all, I have three things here that show us the divine wisdom. First of all, what does Exodus 13, verse 17 say? And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent, change their mind, when they see war, and they return to Egypt. You see, God was looking out for His children even at the very beginning. That's why He led them into the wilderness, lest they never arrive in the promised land of Canaan at all. Lest peradventure they repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. If the people had gone the normal way, they would have met fierce resistance right away. The main road from Egypt to Canaan passed through a militarized zone. Not only do the history books tell us that the Egyptian army maintained a strong presence in the region, but as the scriptures emphasize, there was especially the Philistines to consider. And the Philistines were at this time too strong for Israel. We know that God could have wiped them off the earth if he wanted to, but that wasn't God's will and God's purpose here in this event. Fact is, Israel didn't know the first thing about fighting. Israel had no weapons. The Israelites were just a bunch of poor slaves who were now burdened down with gold and silver and all kinds of precious things running out of Egypt. The Philistines would have crushed the Israelites. And to avoid being crushed by the Philistines, the Israelites would have immediately run back to Egypt for hiding. As it was, the Israelites had hard enough of a time saying goodbye to Egypt. So we see God's wisdom there. This is also the case for us. So often the reality for us is this: we're simply not spiritually strong enough to handle the easy path that leads to glory. You think it's the easy path, easy according to the flesh perhaps, but little do you realize that spiritually it's a path that's fraught with all kinds of spiritual dangers. And God knows exactly what you can handle, the measure you can handle. How do the scriptures put it? God is faithful, who will not suffer you, who will not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. And you see, that's exactly what God was doing with the Israelites when he led them into the way of the wilderness. He was giving them a way of escape. He knew that the easy path to Canaan was a temptation that was above what Israel could handle. So he led them graciously a different way. And that's what God does for us. That's what he did in this past year. Perhaps you see the wealth of those who live next door to you, and you wish that you had that wealth for yourself. You think that would be the good way for me to live. But now here you are, spending nearly every day of 2021 working hard. Yes, you enjoy your Sabbath days. Oh yes, what blessed rest the Sabbath day is. But you also know what it means to work 6 days a week. 6 days shall you labor. And it's demanding work. And you wonder why this is hard. And God says, I know what's good for you. I know that if I lead you down that smooth and easy way, you would face obstacles and temptations that you're not strong enough to handle. My way is best for you because my wisdom is perfect for you. The way that God led you in 2021 was difficult, but here you are still in church, aren't you? Preserved by God's grace. Where would you have been if God had led you down an easier path? Only God knows how our foolish hearts so often turn us away from the path that leads to glory. God is mindful of our human frailties, and as the Almighty Shepherd of His sheep, He leads His people, mindful of their human frailties, in the path that they need to go. That first of all. Second of all, not only did God know the real danger that Israel would come across if they went the easy way, but God also had His own purposes in leading the people into the wilderness. What I mean is, God had His own plans for how He was going to destroy Pharaoh's army and how He was going to bring further glory to His name throughout all the world. That comes out especially in what we read in chapter 14. What we should realize is that God intentionally led Israel into the wilderness in order that Pharaoh might think that Israel was lost, and Pharaoh might harden his heart, and God would harden his heart, and he would go after the Israelites to try to enslave them once again. You read that in verses 3 and 4. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. In the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. You see what God is saying? God is not only leading Israel into the wilderness for Israel's safety, but God is leading Israel into the wilderness in order that God might showcase his power in the destruction of Pharaoh's army. If I may put it this way, by leading Israel into the wilderness, God was, to use earthly language, God was tricking the Egyptians into thinking that the Israelites didn't know what they were doing. Pharaoh thought that he now suddenly had an advantage over the Israelites, and God hardened his heart so that God's purposes would be completely fulfilled in Pharaoh, so that all the world would hear how God entirely destroyed the Egyptian army in the waters of the Red Sea. And then all the world would also hear how God parted the Red Sea and led his own people safely through on dry ground. So that even 40 years after this event happened, when the two spies are in the city of Jericho with Rahab, the people are still talking about these things. And it's the same with us, beloved. Why did God lead us the way that he did in 2021? For his glory. That's my second point here. For our protection and for his glory. He caused you to go through difficult trials and struggles that you might taste his grace more deeply. That you might see his power more clearly. That you might learn to trust his wisdom more firmly. That you might experience his faithfulness to his promise. That you might learn to look to him more and more alone. So that his name might be glorified. That he might stand out against the backdrop of everything else as God and God alone. In the end, so that you and I might learn in an experiential way how God is great and greatly to be praised. Was that not your experience this past year? I hope when you look back, you take the time to look back on the things you've gone through this past year, you can say that, you can see that. It definitely should have been. Let that be our experience tonight as we think back on things that have gone past this past year. Our God is great and faithful and greatly to be praised. Third of all, not only did God know the real dangers that Israel would face had they gone the most direct route, God not only had plans to glorify his name through the destruction of Pharaoh, but now third of all, God also knew that Israel needed special preparation before she entered the promised land of Canaan. And you learn that, not just from this passage really, but the whole history. We know the history. Think of Israel crossing the Red Sea, being baptized into Moses, so that their relationship with Moses was strengthened. And they saw Moses as their mediator. And that whole idea of needing a mediator was taught them. Think of Israel hearing God's voice from Mount Sinai, receiving the Ten Commandments, and also receiving the civil laws and the ceremonial laws. Think of the instructions God gave for the building of the tabernacle, and then they proceeded to build the tabernacle. Think of Israel being organized as a nation. Israel needed preparation in a very serious way before she could enter the promised land. And God says, that's why I'm bringing you this way too. You need preparation. Not only protection, not only my glory, but preparation. Israel, you see, still had way too much of Egypt within her. Almost from day one, she wanted to go back to Egypt. And there, too, you see how good it was for God to lead his people through the Red Sea. So that as after they crossed the Red Sea was a very real barrier for them. So that they couldn't go back to Egypt. God was doing that for them. To lead them in the right way. And in addition, what did we look at this past year in our series on Exodus 32 through 34? We learned that God needed to teach Israel that the only reason they were entering the promised land was because of God's grace. It was not because of anything in them. It was not because they had made themselves to differ from anyone else. They were covenant breakers. They were idolaters and fornicators. But when they entered the promised land, this was the lesson. This is all of God's grace. And we can learn from all of this because this is how God also deals with us. God has redeemed us through the shed blood of the Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ, through whom we're delivered from all our sins. Through Christ, God has brought us up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. But now, along the rest of our earthly pilgrim pathway, God is preparing us for entrance into the promised land. Along our earthly way, God teaches us again and again that we must look to Him alone, we must trust in Him alone, and He teaches us again and again, because we are such slow learners, He teaches us that salvation is all of His grace. And He teaches us this by bringing us through the wilderness wanderings and causing us to experience the wilderness. Through the trials and struggles, He causes us to see who we are of ourselves. He exposes to us the murmuring and the complaining and the ingratitude that dwells within us. Through the trials and struggles, He shows us that of ourselves we deserve to be destroyed, just like the Egyptians. But then through these trials and tribulations, He also causes us to see His care, His sympathy, His compassion. He shows us again and again what He does for us through our mediator. And He teaches us to be oh so thankful that we have Moses as the mediator, the one who's greater than Moses, Jesus Christ. Through the trials and struggles, God gives us a greater vision of who our mediator is. Who He is as the bread which comes down from heaven, as the fountain of living water, as the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud, our shelter and our protection and our light in the midst of a dark world around us. Through the trials and struggles of life, God causes us to see our weaknesses so that we find our strength in Him alone. That was Paul's experience. How did Paul put it? He said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Through these trials and struggles, God chastens us, purifies us. He's emptying us from vessel to vessel. He's humbling us, all the while preparing us for entering the promised land, preparing us for crossing the Jordan River. And God shows us that we are saved by His grace and for His glory. This is God's wisdom. This is what 2021 was all about. And as we look back at 2021, we can also look ahead to 2022 with hope. Because this is what God's going to do in this coming year as well. And we know He's going to do the same thing because just as He was with us this past year, so He's going to be with us in the year to come. We see His constant presence and His faithfulness. That too is emphasized in this passage, right from the very beginning of their journey. Notice chapter 13, verses 21 and 22. "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." That pillar of cloud and fire was a visible manifestation of the presence of God. God was telling His people, "I'm with you, both night and day. I'm always with you." And that cloud was not only a sign of God's presence, it was a sign of God's care and protection. We sang it from Psalm 105 already. Verse 39, "He spread a cloud for a covering to protect them, to shade them in the hot, dry desert. So that Israel, in a sense, passed through the desert like a king under a pavilion." God carried them through with comfort, providing all their needs, giving them shade through that cloud and fire to give light in the night. So that pillar of fire and pillar of cloud was not just to lead the people, it was there to protect them from the sun and from the coldness. I would include the coldness of the desert nighttime. It was there to give them light, to protect them from the Egyptians. You read later on in chapter 14 that pillar of cloud and pillar of fire troubled the Egyptians. And it was there as a constant witness that God was with them. He was with them, and He would show them the way. And that cloud was not just a picture of God, it was also a picture of Jesus. It's a picture of God with His people, a picture of Emmanuel. Just as the rock was a picture of Christ, The manna was a picture of Christ. Moses was a picture of Christ. So that pillar of fire and pillar of cloud is a picture of Christ. Christ, who is the brightness of God's glory. Christ, who is the one who leads us through the wilderness. Who's the angel of the Lord, who, if you would compare the different passages of Scripture, the angel of the Lord also is very closely connected to this pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. Christ, who defends his people from their enemies, who shields his people on their way to glory, who laid down his life on the cross to take away our sin, that we might be made the heirs of glory. What an encouragement, beloved. What an encouragement for the Israelites in Moses' day to be able to look up at any time and see, God is with me. I can see it with my own eyes. God is with me. What encouragement for us. We don't need the physical picture. We've got the Holy Spirit poured out in our hearts. We have the strength of faith. God is with us. The way he leads is unexpected, but it's the way of his perfect wisdom, and he is with us. He is always with us. And that means we will surely be brought to glory. He's promised it. What does the text even say? Verse 19, this is beautiful. Verse 19, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had straitly sworn, Joseph, had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. You see, that was the faith of Joseph. Joseph knew God will keep his promises. God will lead his people home. He may not choose the route that we would choose. It certainly wasn't the route that Joseph had figured before he died 350, 400 years earlier. But God will lead his people home. That much is sure. And nothing will be lost, beloved. Not one bone. Not anything that Christ has redeemed. He will bring you, body and soul, home. He will bring you over Jordan and into that everlasting rest. Exactly in the way of his choosing, in the way of his divine wisdom, he will bring you home. That's what 2021 was all about. That's what 2022 will be about as well. You can have that confidence. Follow the Lord, beloved. Keep your eye on that pillar of fire and that pillar of cloud. Keep your eye on Christ. Stay in his word. He will lead you home. How does the song go? He leadeth me. O blessed thought. O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Let us praise the Lord for his wise leading of his church through 2021. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we praise thee, the God of all glory, who dost do all things right, and who is faithful to thy promises, not only to Israel of old, but this past year. Thou hast been faithful and good in every way, and to thee belong all the praises. Lord, we pray that this whole year might have been a song of praise to thee. Forgive us our sins, again we pray, and receive this year to thy name's glory through the shed blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ. And continue to watch over us going forward. Bring us into thy house tomorrow, that we might look ahead and see who thou art as our refuge and strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.